beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Superman's Journal, final entry. I'm dying. My turn. My cells are breaking down. I'm running out of time.
Welcome to the new world. Lay down your weapons and you won't be hurt.
They only have one chance to save the world. My last adventure is about to begin.
You know what happens when you take on Lex Luthor? If I die, you die first!
Did you ever think that it would end like this?
Hello and welcome again to Animation Aficionados Crossing Over with Tooncast Beyond. We are once again continuing our look through the DC animated original movies. I am your host, Ben, and we're joined by my co-host, TV's Mr. Neil.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
And we have with us from Tooncast Beyond, TFG1, Mike. We are talking about the All-Star Superman.
I just want to get this out of the way right now because I know this is going to be a very comic-heavy reference episode for Ben. I have never read the All-Star Superman comic, so just looking at this movie on a purely animation-based, I did not like the style. James Denton did a better Clark Kent than Superman. I'm sorry, Mike from Desperate Housewives does not need to be Superman. Anthony LaPaglia as Luthor was awesome. I loved him voicing Luthor. What the fuck was Parasite doing in this movie? That was so fucking stupid to me. Christina Hendricks, or whatever the hell her name is.
Hendricks.
She was good as Lois Lane. Out of all the Loises that we've had in the DC Universe movies, I liked her the best at this point. The only way that I would like anyone better is if maybe in a future one they actually get Dana Delaney back to voice Lois. For me, this movie was just meh. I didn't really care for it at all.
Well, I think that part of the problem is you didn't really grow up with Superman. Because this...
Well, I grew up with Superman in the movies and on the...
Well, let me continue.
The Fleischer cartoons and all that.
Super Friends.
Well, let me continue. It's this book was written by Grant Morrison, and the art was by Frank Quitely, and they did an awesome job translating Frank's artwork into animation. But to me, why I like this is because Morrison is one of these people that, like, on a spiritual level, gets Superman.
He's from the street.
Well, he grew up on the street, but see, Morrison identifies Superman because most people say that Superman is the act, Clark Kent is the person. But the way that Morrison sees it is Superman is an act, Clark Kent in Metropolis is an act, but there's actually two Clark Kents. One is the disguised, the master Superman. The other is a confident, strong, good-hearted Clark Kent who was raised by Ma and Pa Kent. He knows how to drive a tractor. That's the most real Clark Kent of them all. And
who wants to bone Kristen Crook? Sorry. Had to throw that in there.
And I think James Denton's voice really lends to that version of how Morrison sees Clark Kent. Because that to me just screams how the writers saw Superman and this translated beautifully in this movie. This is a movie that's a love letter to the Silver Age. It has these high concepts the Silver Age has, but at the same time, it has this seriousness. It's the question that asks you at the beginning is, what would Superman do if he had 1 year left to live?
Yeah.
And that to me just... Because everybody always hears that question, what would you do if you had 1 year left to live?
Right.
I mean, you know, you hear people say, "Oh, go skydiving," you know, and all this other stuff. But what would Superman do if he had 1 year left to live? And that, to me, is what I really enjoyed about this, because you see him just doing things for other people. I mean, you know, he gave, like, Lois Lane the ultimate date ever, you know? And by God, Lois, this is the sexiest Lois of them all.
Oh, yeah.
In animation.
Out of the movies, yes. I'm sorry. Dana Delaney, hands down, out of the actual
animation design. I'm sorry. I like Dana Delaney's Lois, but this is kicking it up a notch.
Yeah.
Bam.
If this was Dana Delaney voicing this Lois, I don't think I could have finished the movie.
TKO, yes. Yeah. But
the only thing I want to bring up before you get too much further, and this is really something that surprised me, because I had to go back and look at the script, because I just finished watching this movie probably half an hour before we started recording this. I did not know this is the first one out of all these movies that is rated PG instead of PG-13. There was just as much violence. I mean, there wasn't a bucket of blood, but there was just as much violence in this than there was in any of the other ones.
Well, to me, I think part of it is this one is just it's such a gentler story, because it's like making you fall in love with the concept of Superman all over again. That's what this movie is to me. This is the greatest Superman story of all time, because with Superman isn't about punching out an intergalactic alien god or fighting some roughed up alien clone or something. No, Superman is a much gentler ideal, and that's what I love about this. It's so gentle. It's so beautiful. It makes you stop and believe again. I'm sorry if I'm gushing, but
No, that's fine. You have more than a right to gush if this is a movie that you absolutely love, and that's more than fun. I will just say, and I will probably bring this up in future episodes, why are we breaking the moon? That was one thing out of this that I was like, what? Really? And as you said, James Denton's voice does lend to being Clark Kent. However, in the suit, his voice does not match Superman to me.
Well, like I said, it's the idea of who is the real man. Is Superman the real man? No. Is the bumbling Clark Kent? No. It's the farm boy. That's who Grant Morrison saw as the real Superman Clark Kent. It's the farm boy. It's the good-natured, honest farm boy. And like I said, I just love every bit of this. It's, you know, Solaris, the living sun. Oh my goodness, just the way that it cuts into these little stories, like you know, you had Samson and Atlas show up. That was great, and
I hated that part.
That was
the dumbest thing I have ever seen. Fighting over the woman to win her, or having challenges that, oh my god.
But did you see what Lois was wearing?
Oh no, I saw what she was wearing. And that's all well and good. And I loved it. But no, I loved it, but I could care less about Samson and Atlas. I didn't like them at all.
But Neil, it's sort of me and Mike going back and forth on this. What are your thoughts on this movie as a whole, as a Superman story?
I really liked it. I'm going to be somewhere in the middle, because I'm not going to really gush over it. But I suppose some of the little hiccups for me was just that, because I'm not familiar with the comic that it comes from, a lot of the subplots kind of seem like non sequiturs. Like Mike brought up the parasite earlier. It's just like, what's he doing in this? And I realize that it's part of the Luther storyline, but it's still kind of, it feels, for a comic, it would be normal because it would be like an entire issue. For a movie, it kind of feels like it's tacked on.
It's in a movie, it's like 5 minutes. I agree. But yeah. But overall, it's I think the spirit of the story did so much more good than the little minor hiccups of the adaptation.
Yeah. My real hiccup with Parasite is mostly with the design and look of the character, because I'm so used to him being Rudy from Superman the Animated Series and Justice League.
That was a fairly new design, let's be honest, because before then he looked like a slug man.
Okay, well, see, now that's something I did not know, but that was the one thing when I first saw this movie, when it first came out, I originally got it from Redbox when it first came out, and I was like, that's not Parasite, what the hell? Because I was so used to the other design. What else about this, Neil? Where do you fall on this one?
Another story arc that in the movie that I found kind of bizarre was the two Kryptonians that show up, I think, in the second half of the movie somewhere.
Yeah,
I know they were referenced early in the movie. I caught that, but it was like, okay, this doesn't go anywhere.
That was really. In the actual miniseries itself, that was more of a one-shot story that really didn't go anywhere either. Yeah. The thing to remember is this is a love letter to the Silver Age, and the Silver Age had stories like this all the time where all of a sudden, ooh, another Kryptonian survivor shows up. Sure. Well, what are we going to do with them now? In fact, I remember there was actually a Kryptonian in the Silver Age comics named Kil-Or. Yes, I know. And Superman actually tricks him into killing himself. So, yeah, it's like I said, you have to understand the age this harkens back to, while at the same time, it's a delicate balance, a very delicate balance between being a love letter to the Silver Age and appealing to the modern sensibilities. And it's hit or miss for some people, but to me, this is a definite hit.
I don't know. This is something that I was excited about. I think one of the things I was excited about, it, and it's a very sad reason why I was excited to see this, is because sadly this is the last thing Dwayne McDuffie ever worked on before he passed away. And simply because it was Dwayne McDuffie working on it, I thought it was going to be absolutely awesome, like everything else he has done with animation. And maybe because I don't have the comic background, that's where it kind of lost me, because I honestly would rather watch Doomsday than this.
Doomsday is
fucking horrible. I'm sorry, dude, but I just could not get into this movie. The only thing at the end of the day, the only thing that really drew me into this movie was Anthony LaPaglia's performance of Lex Luthor. That was really the only thing that drew me into this film.
I just don't understand how you could just see such a perfectly crafted Superman story and would rather see some sort of travesty where you have, child acting Superman puking up blood. I don't understand.
Like I said, I think it's the context. If you're not... connected to the comics, it's kind of a hit or miss thing.
This is the only movie so far that they have done that you really need to have a comic book connection and have had to have read the comic series to really absolutely love this.
Well, to me, the reason I love this is sort of like, I'm sorry if I'm doing this to you, Neil, but sort of like the reason, Neil has a connection to the Jim Henson era of the Muppets. It's like all of a sudden, it brings it back again,
And that's perfectly fine. But what I'm mainly speaking, not even as a cartoon lover or animation lover, I'm strictly speaking as a mainstream audience, as someone who would, oh, hey, it's a new Superman cartoon movie. Let's go watch it. Let's, sit the kids down or whatever. Not that I would ever let kids watch this movie, but simply because of the ratings of these movies. Even though this one was rated PG, this is something more for comic book fans, someone who has read the All-Star Superman run, and it's not for the mainstream audience. I get that.
I would even say that you don't even have to be – you could be a casual comic fan and never have read All-Star and still love this. I think that
– Not me.
Well, you don't even read comics. So what does that matter to you?
But even as a mainstream moviegoer, the first time I watched this, the very first time when it first came out, I was like, okay, that was a Superman movie. I wasn't like, oh yeah, that was awesome. I wasn't like at the end of Crisis on Two Earths. I wasn't like, oh my God, that was freaking awesome. I didn't have that reaction. I was like, okay, well, that was slightly interesting, but not really.
Well, to me, part of why I love this so much is just the animation. The animation in this was some of the best that they've done so far.
I will agree to that. Yes, it was.
I really
And also, like I said, to me, it's a 1-2 punch of a great Superman story with people who, you know, not only, you know, can write a good Superman story, but can write a good Superman. That's so important to me, where you have, like I said, Grant Morrison gets Superman on a level that so few people do. It's, you know, Superman, it's not about these bloody fist fights. It's about something else. It's about something much more pure. It's the, you know, what's Superman's final act in this movie? He fixes the sun. It's not this slug out fight with Lex Luthor. In fact, one of the most beautiful moments in the story for me is the implication that the natural course of the universe is good. That once somebody with that much power just stops and realizes, which was what happened with Luthor, it's this epiphany that it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And I really just love this story to death.
Okay. Let's talk about the voice cast in this. You got James Denton as Clark Kent Superman. You've got Christina Hendricks as Lois Lane. You've got Anthony LaPaglia as Lex Luthor. Why is Granny Goodness Perry White? That's another thing. I like, why is Ed Asner Perry White in this movie? That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Because he looks like him.
A little, well, as far as the animation model, yeah, compared to the actor, yes.
So Ed Asner has been both Perry White and J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah.
Yeah.
They had that crossover comic before already, Neil.
Yeah. You've got...
You sound just like me. Okay, go ahead.
You got Kevin Michael Richardson as Steve Lombard. You've got John DiMaggio as Samson and Steve Bloom as Atlas. Now, this is one that's really weird to me. As much as I like the guy, as much as I loved his run on Angel, why is Alexis Denisoff in this as Dr. Quintum? I didn't even know that until, I mean, I knew it in the back of my mind when I first watched it, but I had to actually look it up because it doesn't sound like, of other stuff that I've seen Alexis Denisoff in. I don't know. It was just weird to me having him voice that character. Finola Hughes as Lilo L. Robin Atkin Downs as Solaris, and a bunch of other really great people as well. I don't know. I know with this Luthor, they were going for more the mad scientist rather than evil businessman, and that's fine. I like that change because obviously it needed a change for this film. I just think if you put Dana Delaney in Lois's shoes and you put whether it's either George or Tim in George Newbern or Tim Daly in the Superman shoes, I would have liked this movie better.
To me, I disagree because like I said, Tim Daly is a great Superman, but for this story, they had to go back and dig to the core to where, like I said, they really wanted the farm boy. They wanted that Clark Kent to be Superman.
And okay, then bring it. Then bring in Tom Welling to voice him.
Fuck no.
And like I said earlier, you know, you put Dana Delaney with this Lois. I think the raw sexiness of that would just like shatter the universe.
Yes. Well,
it would have been too much.
Tom Welling, are you fucking kidding me? We don't want a fucking emo Superman. Wearing all black and... God damn it.
I think I just broke Ben's brain. I love it.
He didn't break my brain. I know other people that said that he should be the next live-action Superman, too, and I'm like, no.
I think you should at least get a shot at something else, whether it be animation or something. But anyway, I don't know. The voice cast in this is great for what the movie is, but still, outside of Luthor, none of the other voices really captured my attention. I don't know. Neil?
You know what? I saw this like a month ago, and so the voices really aren't that fresh for me. Yeah, I do remember liking Lex because he was really sinister in this movie.
Oh yeah,
and we didn't even touch upon the serum part of the story.
We can touch on that if you want to. That was
yeah. We shouldn't totally spoil it, but
right
the whole part where you put Lois Lane in the super sexy Superwoman costume was a story arc where Superman made a super serum for her that would last for 24 hours. And God, I love that part of the movie. But then later, Lex Luthor somehow gets this formula. I don't exactly remember how, and I shouldn't really spoil it anyway, but...
Well, I'll go ahead and spoil it. I don't care. The movie's been out long enough. Robot 7 betrayed Superman. Lex broke in and reprogrammed Robot 7.
Yeah. And then there was that whole thing where Lois breathed in that gas from that room, and it made her kind of paranoid, but it also played with the audience a little because you really did think Superman was up to something.
Yeah.
I loved that. That was awesome.
I just don't get this movie. I just don't get it.
Well, you know what? That I'm sorry that you don't, because to me, this really is one of the greatest Superman stories I've ever seen told.
All right, so Neil, well, let's get into the box office because this one made so far. It's one of the lower ones, actually. It made only $4,267,000.
Wow.
It sold 252,000 units. So, yeah, this one didn't do all that well.
And that's a shame.
It did good. It did good, but it didn't do all that well compared to the other ones, because most of the other ones are either 5, 6, 7, or 8 million.
You know, one thing I've been wondering, are these box office numbers, are they relative to when they were released? Because, you know, Doomsday has been out the longest, so it's had the longest period of time to sell. You think that might factor into it at all?
I'm not sure. Again, it's Wikipedia. Take Wikipedia with a grain of salt. I do know from when I, because I actually have the Wikipedia page pulled up here. When I originally pulled up the numbers to put in each of the scripts for the spotlight, I've since gone back and looked at the Wikipedia, and Doomsday had actually gone up since I originally did that. So, but every time that we're doing these now, I go back to this, and I would assume it's correct. Okay. Considering that Year One and Emerald Knights had just come out, and Year One has only made a million at this point. So, the IGN replacement crew, Neil, what do you give it? 0 to 4.
Even though I kind of nitpicked at it, I still think it's a really good movie. And it is something that I think I would own, so I'll give it a 4.
I give it a 3. It's, you know, if it was on Netflix, and I know you can get it through Netflix DVD or, you know, a DVD rental, whether you rent it on iTunes or whatever, it's worth renting. It's worth watching. It's not so awful that it doesn't deserve to be watched. It is a very good story. As I said before, I still think someone coming into it from a mainstream who knows, even me, who I have watched Superman stuff over the last, you know, 28, 29 years of my, you know, almost 32 years of life, it just didn't capture me, and I'm not sure if it's going to capture a mainstream audience. It's, as Ben has said, it is a letter to, it's a love letter to the comic. And Ben, well, let me guess, four, right?
I give it 2 fours. You buy it for yourself and you buy it for someone you know.
Okay. it is on DVD, DVD and Blu-ray, includes 2 bonus episodes from Superman the Animated Series, selected by Bruce Timm, and a preview of the next DC Universe original movie, Green Lantern Emerald Knights. So I think we're going to take a break, you're going to hear some ads, and we'll come back to close the show after this.
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual memes. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-release written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Ha cha 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 cha!
We are back on Tooncast Beyond and Animation Aficionados. Neil, final thoughts. Sum it up really quickly.
Best Lois ever. Fun movie. Not the greatest, in my opinion, but pretty darn good. And that's all I got.
Yeah, Lois and Lex are the only good things for me in this. What about you, Ben?
Best Superman story ever, best Lois ever. I think this is the perfect stocking stuffer for everyone on your Christmas list. That's my thought.
Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond the Animation Aficionados. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. You can comment on each of our episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The short name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG1 Mike. Neil, what is your Twitter?
Neil Sama.
Ben, what's the AA Twitter?
A Aficionados.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and facebook.com/AnimationAficionados. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and Animation Aficionados, and wish you will join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe Animated Movie Spotlight with Green Lantern Emerald Knights. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Chibis, Mr. Neil.
And Ben.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
Good night.
Stand tall, warriors, and charge your rings immediately. There's no mistake. This is just the beginning.
In brightest day and blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light!
When you shape the light of your ring, you walk in the footsteps of the First Lantern.
We've got one chance, and one chance only.
If it gets past Oa, he can annihilate any world, anywhere.
I'm a Green Lantern.
I believe in destiny. All of this, everything we do, is a part of that destiny.